Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Regional Advantage, Culture and Competition in Silicon Valley and Route 128 is a landmark work of economic geography and innovation studies by Annalee Saxenian, first published in 1994 and later issued with a new preface. The book compares two major American technology regions that began with similar advantages but evolved very differently: Silicon Valley in California and Route 128 around Boston. Saxenian argues that the decisive difference was not simply access to capital, universities, or federal research funding, but the social and organizational structure of each region. Silicon Valley developed a decentralized, networked, and collaborative system in which labor mobility, informal knowledge exchange, and interfirm specialization accelerated adaptation. Route 128, by contrast, became more hierarchical, self-contained, and vertically integrated, which limited flexibility as technological change intensified. The book is both a historical comparison and a theory of why some innovation clusters remain dynamic while others stagnate. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Silicon Valley's networked industrial culture created a faster learning system. Saxenian presents Silicon Valley as more than a geographic cluster of firms. Its advantage came from a regional culture that encouraged people, ideas, and skills to move quickly across company boundaries. Engineers changed jobs often, suppliers specialized, and firms routinely depended on outside partners rather than trying to do everything internally. This produced dense networks of trust and repeated contact, which made it easier to exchange technical information and respond rapidly to changing markets. In this setting, competition and collaboration were not opposites. Firms could compete aggressively while still sharing enough knowledge through social and professional ties to keep the whole region adaptable. The book treats this as a structural advantage because it reduces the cost of experimentation. When engineers, managers, and entrepreneurs circulate, they carry experience from one organization to another, helping new ventures form and established firms adjust. Saxenian shows that Silicon Valley's openness was not accidental. It was an operating system for innovation. Secondly, Route 128 shows how vertical integration can weaken regional adaptability. The book contrasts Silicon Valley with Route 128 to explain why regions built on similar technology can diverge so sharply. Route 128 was dominated by large, self-sufficient companies that preferred to keep production, design, and expertise inside the firm. That model worked reasonably well when markets were stable and product cycles were slower, but became a liability in a fast-moving technological environment. Vertical integration reduced the need for external relationships, which in turn limited labor mobility, interfirm learning, and the circulation of entrepreneurial ideas. Saxenian argues that this organizational isolation made the region less responsive to change. Even strong firms could become rigid if they treated independence as a virtue and outside collaboration as a weakness. The result was not immediate collapse, but gradual loss of dynamism. Route 128 is therefore not just a case study of decline. It is an example of how a region can lose competitiveness when firms optimize for control rather than adaptability. The lesson is organizational, not merely geographic. Thirdly, labor mobility and informal exchange are central mechanisms of innovation. One of the book's most influential ideas is that innovation clusters depend on how people moved, not just where firms are located. Saxenian emphasizes job switching, weak ties, and informal professional relationships as channels through which knowledge spreads. In Silicon Valley, frequent labor mobility helped create a labor market in which workers, not companies, held much of the practical knowledge that mattered. When engineers moved between firms, they carried technical methods, tacit know-how, and awareness of market opportunities with them. This made the region unusually good at recombining ideas into new products and companies. The book also highlights the importance of informal venues, social networks, and loosely structured business relationships in reducing friction among competitors. Such interactions allow a region to scan the environment more effectively because information is not trapped inside single organizations. Saxenian's point is that innovation is collective and social, even when products are built by individual firms. The regional advantage lies in the circulation of competence, not just in the presence of elite institutions or funding. Fourthly, universities and venture capital matter most when they are embedded in a local ecosystem. Saxenian does not dismiss the role of universities, research, or finance. Instead, she shows that these assets matter most when they are connected to a broader entrepreneurial culture. Stanford and other institutions help support Silicon Valley, but their influence was amplified by close ties to entrepreneurs, investors, suppliers, and experienced managers. Venture capital worked effectively because it was embedded in a region where startup creation, risk-taking, and rapid labor movement were normal. The book implies that a university alone does not produce a Silicon Valley, and capital alone does not create innovation. What matters is the interaction among institutions.
Rad 129 är kvant med matering vårdäck förbi. Där vun tuts ding flammas nu rejen. Ju fint expect nor uval, idau once we image uens utstopik. O warn, I rest in twisting up only your mean, but also we came for, bought your in the main 216 of. Mail dear branch on inflare on, dead one point of doin is, and quit link to be for few wins in. And you can be fun to insort on cycle and signs, we in which they were somewhere to go quick. Now we do need calling. They were 22 until, so you have to find a scene, and you want to say. And 12 brains, you like 12, and 10 still.
And the local business culture did not support the same level of spin-outs and cross-fertilization. This makes the book especially valuable for understanding innovation ecosystems as systems rather than isolated institutions. Saxenian's comparison shows that regional development depends on relationships among actors, not on prestige or resources in isolation. Lastly, the book is a theory of regional resilience, not just a history of one technology rivalry. Although the book is famous for comparing two American technology centers, its broader value lies in the theory it offers about regional resilience. Saxenian is interested in why some regions can renew themselves when technologies, markets, and industries change, while others remain locked into older forms of organization. Her answer is that resilient regions sustain openness, circulation, and learning across firm boundaries. That makes the book relevant far beyond semiconductors or computer hardware. It speaks to any cluster facing rapid change, including modern software, advanced manufacturing, and emerging industries. The argument also has policy implications. Governments and institutions cannot simply copy the surface features of Silicon Valley, such as offices, campuses, or funding programs, and expect the same result. They need to foster the social conditions that support entrepreneurship and adaptation. This is why the book remains a classic in economic sociology and regional studies. It explains not only who won a particular competition, but why some innovation systems keep evolving while others become brittle. In conclusion, Regional Advantage is best suited for readers interested in innovation policy, economic geography, technology history, sociology of organizations, and regional development. It is especially useful for scholars, business leaders, policymakers, and students who want to understand why some startup ecosystems generate durable competitiveness while others falter despite similar resources. The book offers a practical benefit that many case studies of Silicon Valley do not. It explains the region through social structure, labor circulation, and organizational design, rather than through mythology, personality, or geography alone. That makes it valuable for anyone trying to build or evaluate innovation ecosystems in other places. Compared with more celebratory books about Silicon Valley, Saxenian's work is more analytical and comparative. Compared with narrow business histories, it is broader and more rigorous in showing how institutional relationships shape economic outcomes. Its lasting distinction is that it treats regional advantage as something produced by networks and norms, not by luck or genius. For readers seeking a serious explanation of how innovation clusters actually function, it remains one of the most important books in the field. If you would like to support Annalise Saxenian, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.